I'm going to read from my father's Bible, which is in a condition I think that all Bibles probably should be. It is very, very well used. My father would have been 100 years old in a couple of weeks, and he spent many hours reading his Bible. Our first lesson comes from the book of Ezekiel, chapter 37, verses 1 through 14. At this time, Judah, and in particular Jerusalem, found itself in between two great powers, Egypt and Babylon. And the Babylonians were triumphant, and among other things, they carried a lot of the people of Jerusalem off to a little area that is, I believe, about southeast of Babylon. And it was there that Ezekiel did most of his writing about 600 BC. The hand of the Lord was upon me, and carried me out in the spirit of the Lord, and set me down in the midst of the valley, which was full of bones, and caused me to pass by them round about. And behold, there were very many in the open valley, and lo, they were very dry. And he said unto me, Son of man, can these bones live? And I answered, O Lord God, thou knowest. Again he said unto me, Prophesy upon these bones, and say unto them, O ye dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. Thus saith the Lord God unto these bones, Behold, I will cause breath to enter into you, and ye shall live. And I will lay sinews upon you, and will bring up flesh upon you, and cover you with skin, and put breath in you, and ye shall live. And ye shall know that I am the Lord. So I prophesied as I was commanded, and as I prophesied there was a noise, and behold a shaking, and the bones came together, bone to bone. And when I beheld, lo, the sinews and the flesh came upon them, and the skin covered them above, but there was no breath in them. Then he said unto me, Prophesy unto the wind, prophesy, son of man, and say to the wind, Thus saith the Lord God, Come from the four winds, O breath, and breathe upon these slain that they may live. So I prophesied as he commanded me, and the breath came into them, and they lived, and stood upon their feet, an exceeding great army. Then he said unto me, Son of man, these bones are the whole house of Israel. Behold, they say, Our bones are dried, and our hope is lost. We are cut off for our parts. Therefore prophesy and say unto them, Thus saith the Lord God, Behold, O my people, I will open your graves and cause you to come up out of your graves and bring you into the land of Israel. And ye shall know that I am the Lord, when I have opened your graves, O my people, and brought you up out of your graves, and shall put my spirit in you, and ye shall live, and I shall place you in your own land. Then shall ye know that I, the Lord, have spoken it and performed it, saith the Lord. This is the word of our Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Our second reading is from the Gospel of John, chapter 15, verses 26 through 27, and chapter 16, verses 4 through 15. Since I'm reading from a King James Version, you may want to follow along with the Pew Bible. It's on page 940. But when the Comforter is come, whom I will send unto you from the Father, Even the Spirit of truth, which proceedeth from the Father, he shall testify of me. And ye shall also bear witness, because ye have been with me from the beginning. These things have I spoken unto you, that ye should not be offended. They shall put you out of the synagogues. Yea, the time cometh that whosoever killeth you will think he doeth God's service. And these things will they do unto you, because they have not known the Father nor me. But these things have I told you, that when the time shall come, ye may remember that I told you of them. And these things I said not unto you at the beginning, because I was with you. But now I go my way to him that sent me, and none of you asketh me, whither goest thou? But because I have said these things unto you, sorrow hath filled your heart. Nevertheless, I tell you the truth. It is expedient for you that I go away. For if I go not away, the Comforter will not come unto you. But if I depart, I will send him unto you. And when he is come, he will reprove the world of sin, and of righteousness, and of judgment. Of sin, because they believe not on me. Of righteousness, because I go to my Father, and ye see me no more. Of judgment, because the prince of this world is judged. I have yet many things to say unto you, but ye cannot bear them now. Howbeit, when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he will guide you into all truth, for he shall not speak of himself. But whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak, and he will show you things to come. He shall glorify me, for he shall receive of mine, and shall show it unto you. All things that the Father hath are mine. Therefore said I, that he should take of mine, and shall show it unto you. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
The third reading comes from the book of Acts. It is the story of that Pentecost day where the church was born. Acts chapter 2, verses 1 through 21. When the day of Pentecost had come, they were all gathered in one place, speaking of the disciples. And suddenly from heaven there came a sound like a rush of a violent wind, and it filled the entire house where they were sitting. Divided tongues as a fire appeared among them, and a tongue rested on each of them. All of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other languages as the Spirit gave them ability. Now there were devout Jews from every nation under heaven living in Jerusalem. And at this sound the crowd gathered and was bewildered, because each one heard them speaking in the native language of each. Amazed and astonished, they asked, "Are not all these who are speaking Galileans? And how is it that we hear each of us in our own native tongue? Corinthians, Medes, Elamites, and residents of Mesopotamia, Judea, Cappadocia, Pontus, and Asia, Perga, Pamphylia, Egypt, and parts of Libya belonging to Cyrene, and visitors from Rome, both Jews and proselytes, Cretans and Arabs. In our own language, we hear them speaking about God's deeds of power." All were amazed and perplexed, saying to one another, "What does this mean?" But others sneered and said, "They are filled with new wine." But Peter, standing with the 11, raised his voice and addressed them, "Men of Judea and all who live in Jerusalem, let this be known to you, and listen to what I say. Indeed, these are not drunk as you suppose, for it's only 9 o'clock in the morning. No, this is what was spoken through the prophet Joel. In the last days it will be, God declares, that I will pour out my Spirit upon all flesh. And your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, and your young men shall see visions, and your old men shall dream dreams. Even upon my slaves, both men and women, in those days I will pour out my Spirit, and they shall prophesy. And I will show portents in the heavens above and signs on the earth below, fire, blood and fire and smoky mist. The sun shall turn to darkness and the moon to blood before the coming of the Lord's great and glorious day. Then everyone who calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
I love Pentecost. It's a shame that it's only one Sunday a year, but it is the birthday of the church, and it is the story of how the Holy Spirit came and empowered these few people, probably about as many as we got here, maybe just a few more than what we have here, empowered them and changed the world. There they were, up in that room, behind locked doors, behind the four walls, fearful for their lives, and yet they were praying in anticipation of what God might do, with no clue as to what that might be. And then the Holy Spirit comes like that rushing wind, and the tongues like fire descend upon them, and they start talking in these foreign tongues, but speaking the language of the people. The people who were gathered together there in Jerusalem. And the noise of the wind attracted a crowd, and these followers of Jesus unlocked the doors and went down into the streets and began to proclaim the wonderful deeds of God. And before the day was over, what started out as about 120 became 3,000 strong. And the work of the Spirit has not stopped to today, where Christianity is the largest religion in the world. I love Pentecost because that same Spirit that worked on that day is still working today and still enabling people, followers of Jesus, to speak in languages that people understand. So I want to share some stories of people learning to hear a different language, or God's people working in different languages. The first one took place in the 1800s by a Catholic priest by the name of Damien. He was in Hawaii, and Hawaii, when the Westerners came, brought with them all kinds of problems, especially diseases and illnesses and things that the people had not experienced before. And one of the things they brought was leprosy. And this became a big problem in Hawaii. And what they did was they moved those who had the leprosy off to another island, an isolated island, where they were all together. But they were pretty much abandoned by the people. And Damien asked to go specifically to serve this island. Motukia, I believe, is the name of it. And his superior said that he could go, but he was given strict instructions not to touch the people with leprosy, not to be touched by them, and not to eat with them. So he gets there and he wants to give dignity to their lives. And the first thing he realizes that in order to give them dignity to their lives, he first has to give dignity to their deaths. Their cemetery was overrun with pigs and dogs that would come and be scavengers amongst the dead bodies. So the first thing Damien did was build a fence around the cemetery to keep them out. And he made sure everyone who died had a good and proper burial. And then he would go and he started to visit the sick. And he would pray for them and he would anoint them with oil, touching their heads with the sign of the cross. And he would serve communion and he would put the bread on their tongues. And he began to embrace the people with hugs. And he would eat with them. He became one with them. And he changed their lives. I have to keep the story short because I want to tell these other stories. But he became known as Saint Damian of Modicea, Saint to the lepers. God speaking, the Holy Spirit speaking through touch, language of touch. The second story I want to tell you is the story of Nora Lim from China. She was a young woman during the Cultural Revolution in China when the communists were taking over. She was a teacher. And one day the soldiers came in and they asked her if she was a Christian. She said, "No, I'm not a Christian. We're not religious." And they said, "But you attended a Presbyterian boarding school. Why were you there?" She said, "Well, my parents believed that I would get a good education there. It was strictly education, the reason." Well, they didn't believe her. And they made her write journals, page after page after page, recalling what happened while she was at that school. And as she did so, she began to remember things. And the Holy Spirit convicted her. And she became a Christian. And when they asked, "Are you a Christian?" she said, "Yes." And then the persecution got even worse. She had a young baby. And she wasn't able to be with it throughout the day. And she needed to find milk to take care of this child. And she went to the place where they offered rations, and she got her ration ticket, and she was also begging for some more milk. And the woman behind the counter said, "Meet me in a few minutes outside." So in a little bit, Nora meets this woman, and they go through this maze of in-between buildings and alleyways to a remote open area, kind of hidden amongst all the buildings. And there were about a dozen or so people there, and it was a church service. As they gathered to worship, Nora's needs were made known. "I need milk." And one person said, "I can give you fresh milk, but only on Wednesdays." And she said, "Well, I need some dry milk then to make other days." And so between these people in this church, they were able to meet her needs, to provide for her baby. And there was, when God was answering their prayers like this, they wanted to worship God in celebration. And they said, "Let us sing praises to God now. Let us sing, 'Lord, take my life and let it be.'" So they all stood up and they started to sing. Through whispers as these people praised God. Later on, when Nora was pregnant with her third child, her husband had managed to escape China with her wife, with Nora's blessing, taking their second child, their daughter, with them. And she said, "One day I will join you. I don't know when it will be, but I will join you." And at this one of these church services, one of the people stood up and prophesied, saying, "You will leave China before this child is born. This child will be born in a free country." Again, to make a long story short, through miraculous means, Nora did flee this country, flee China, taking her son and delivering that baby in a free country, being restored back to her husband and daughter. God speaking through whispers. Sometimes God speaks through just the totally absurd unexpected. How in the world could you ever put this together? You wouldn't believe it, except this is the way it happened. And I want to tell you the story of how a Rwandan, Russian, Jewish immigrant chemist became the Christian pastor to a Jewish Russian Christian church in Brooklyn, New York. His name was Jan, grew up in Rwanda, and out of all of the kids in his elementary class, he was one of five that went to high school. And he was the only one of all of those that graduated from the university. He was studying to become a priest. And as he was getting ready to take the exams to become a priest, his priest came up to him and said, "You can't do it. You'd make a lousy priest. So we're not pursuing this any further." Well, Dan was totally devastated and didn't know what to do, and he left the Catholic Church. He was trying to figure out what to do, so he took an entry test into graduate school, and lo and behold, he had the second highest score in all of the country in chemistry. He didn't even know he had a knack for chemistry. Well, agents of Russia were scouring all over Africa and Latin America and Asia, trying to find the youngest and brightest that they could recruit to come and study in Russia, hopefully indoctrinating them to the communist philosophy. This is, I'm thinking it's in the 1980s that this was taking place. And Jan is recruited by them. His mother, and he feels like he needs to do this, and his mother says to him, "Do not learn the Russian language and do not marry a Russian girl." His parents tell him, "You will probably be the only Christian there." But Jan goes. He's given a Rwandan, dual Rwandan-Russian citizenship. So now, as he goes to Moscow, he's a citizen of Russia. He gets there and he starts attending these chemistry classes, not speaking a word of Russian, but somehow managing. One day he's riding in a taxi and he hears on the radio a Christian broadcast. And the taxi driver's not a Christian, but was kind of perplexed and wondering what all this means, this station. And through sign language and facial expressions, Jan and this taxi driver agreed that they will meet that Sunday and go to visit this church. Jan shows up at this church, and he is the first black-skinned person most of these people had ever seen, especially the children. And the children wanted to touch his skin and touch his hair, and they were just amazed by this. So the church, through their sign language and their facial expressions, they invite Jan to come back the next year, or next week. And he comes back and he finds that the church is almost doubled, if not more than doubled in size. Because all these kids went home and told their friends, "You got to come see this." And they came and they brought their families. And many of those that came became Christian. After a few weeks being there, Jan discovered that he had a real knack for working with youth. So he prayed for language gifts so that he might communicate. And the next week, he came and he was able to speak Russian. This is a real Pentecostal moment, like just in Acts chapter 2. Miraculously being able to speak Russian. He met a woman at church, fell in love, married her. So now he is really totally ditched what his mother told him to do. He learned the language. He married a Russian woman. And not only was she this white Russian woman, she was of Jewish descent. And over time, Jan fell in love with the Russian people, with this Russian church. And he says he wants to live there for the rest of his life. But during this time, the Russians opened it up where Jews could leave the country if they so chose. And Jan's father-in-law had already left and was living in the United States. And he wanted his daughter out of Russia. And so he was going through the State Department and doing all these things, working behind the scenes that Jan and his wife had no idea was happening, and allowed for them to leave. And they left. Movement of the Holy Spirit. He didn't want to go, but suddenly he finds himself in the United States. How's he going to find work? He doesn't speak the language. But he goes and he does find work as a chemist. And there he is living in New York. And he finds this, the condition he had to have for going to the United States was he would get dual Russian U.S. citizenship, but he had to come in as a Jewish immigrant. He's married to a Jewish woman. And he gets that. And he discovers in Brooklyn this Messianic congregation. A Messianic congregation is a church that is made up of people of Jewish descent who have said that Jesus is the Messiah, that Jesus is their Savior and Lord. And so he finds this church and he attends it. And it's in Brooklyn. And in Brooklyn, there are hundreds of thousands of Russian Jewish immigrants. And this church is made up of some of these. And he goes and he falls in love with the church and he tells his wife, I'm going to be pastor of this church one day. And she says, how is that going to happen? They have four pastors already. They're not going to need you. But about a year later, each of those pastors had taken a new calling and Jan was called to be the pastor of that church. I could go on and share more of what all happened as pastor of that church, but I'm going to have to leave it there. But here was this Rwandan, Russian, Jewish, U.S. chemist who becomes the pastor of this Russian Jewish Christian church. Unbelievable. I wish I had time to tell you how the Spirit not only speaks in touch and whispers and in unexplainable, unexpected ways. I wish I could share with you how the Holy Spirit speaks through art and music and sports and through loving other folks, through mission. I just don't have time. I want to close with this. How might the Holy Spirit be speaking through us in languages that can be heard and understood? I shared with you a few weeks ago about us trying to do a block party in September. Here, we get a chance to get out from behind closed doors, from behind these four walls, and invite our neighbors to come and be with us on our property for food and fun and activities and who all knows what. We're trying to figure all this out. But a way for us to connect with our neighbors that we are not connecting with right now. And I think the Holy Spirit would have us listen. Not so much speak as to listen. Maybe inviting, and we'd be wearing t-shirts with the name of the church on it so we can distinguish ourselves from our neighbors. But we can go up to them and say, you go to church anywhere? You do. What do you like best about that church? talking about that, then maybe sharing what you like best about our church. And then if they say no, you say, why is it you think so many people don't go to church today? Hear what they think of the church. And then maybe asking them, if you were to go to church, what would you want that church to be like? Listening to how the Spirit might be speaking. And then maybe asking, what is the greatest need in our community? Finding out what people think about this area. This is going to cost money to make happen. I know that. But we need to see it as an investment. The Holy Spirit enabling us to speak to our neighborhood. And as we get excited, as we get people excited with their time and their talents and their treasures, I think we'll see the Holy Spirit work in really exciting ways. But it's going to take our involvement, everyone's involvement, to get excited and passionate about what God might want to do in our midst. And as we do this, I think the Holy Spirit will rekindle the fire within us and will allow us to speak in languages that people understand. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you that the Holy Spirit is alive and well today, working in our midst. And we thank you for the examples that we've heard of how you are at work. And we pray that you would be at work in our midst through our worship, through our mission, through our Christian education, through our fellowship with one another, through our outreach. We pray for this block party that you would get us excited about it and you would be preparing our neighbors even now to hear the Holy Spirit speak. We pray this in the name of Jesus, our Lord and our Savior. Amen.